devalued, what God honored and what God valued, the world dishonors and disvalues. What the Lord says is proper. The world says is unseemly. What God says is right, the world says is wrong. What the Lord teaches is timeless. What the world says is outdated. So these statements are especially true when it comes to being a mother in today's society. And if we look at the importance set on motherhood in the scriptures, we see that God had a high value on the idea of motherhood. Look at Proverbs chapter 31 here and look at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. We're going to take a short moment of meditation and then we'll pray. So we're going to take just a few minutes for you to pray yourself and then I'll pray and then we'll get started. Father, we're grateful this morning that we have the opportunity to come to you and ask that you would bless the time that we have in your word this morning, that we would be open and receptive to the things that are before us, and that we would take them and hide them in our hearts, that we might be pleasing to you in our sight, and that we might continue to strive to be everything that we can be for you. And we'll give you the praise for all these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, put something here in Proverbs 31. We'll be back, but let's go over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We saw in our opening passage that it was King Lemuel's mother and her teaching that is found recorded in Holy Scriptures is what brought him to that place. What she taught her son was godly principles. And the Bible says that's the prophecy that his mother taught him. And he goes back, God goes back to that teaching that he had from a little boy and how it impacted his life and to the point to where we have a whole chapter of the Bible talked about in that sense. But look here at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So the law is a precept or a statute, especially in this at that time, was the Pentateuch. And we see the mothers were instructed to teach their children morally. They were to teach their children spiritually. And they were to teach their children practical lessons in life. Go with me over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. A mother was to guide the children to follow the instruction of their father and to train them up in the way that they should go. And she would provide much needed application to the instruction through the telling of stories, through teaching of even through everyday chores, faithful encouragement to be obedient as the instruction was given. And a mother would be that encouragement, that foundation to help encourage the children along. Well, look here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, and we see again the importance of this and what that faithful teaching would do for the young people. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." So we see this verse covers almost pretty nearly almost all aspects of life. When one rises in the morning, they're to speak and think about the things of God. When one sitting in the house and throughout the day to think about the things of God. When they're walking through the day and they're walking from place to place or doing their chores or the things that they have, They were to think about the things of God. When they lie down at night, they were to think about the things of God. Now, put something here in this passage because we'll be back at the end for application. But let's go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The words of God that was spoken unto them by Moses were to be kept in their heart. They were to put them there. They were to rehearse them, these words, with their children, to bring them forth to that place to where they would recognize and understand the words that God was saying. If the father is out providing for his home, then it was the mother that was teaching and reinforcing these principles to the children. And this is one of the reasons why God has a wife to be a keeper at home, especially to those who have children. Because this is, and no doubt, this has become an area that Satan has used to do everything he can to convince a mother to do anything but raise her child or children. He will reinforce within the mother to have a desire to do anything else but to instruct her children in the way that they should go. He'll give her a strong desire to work outside the home, spending time doing other things instead of instilling into the children a love for God and his word. And Satan knows that a mother plays a vital role in the everyday life of a child, and he's going to do everything that he can, and especially when it comes to the salvation of a child. Look here at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Paul is referencing to Timothy that he knew from a child the Holy Scriptures. Remember, it's the mother's job to help instill the word of God into the children. Look what it goes on and says, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ." One of the greatest privileges that a mother has is to continue to build upon the foundation of the gospel in the heart of a child. And it's the scriptures that brings a person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." No matter how hard Satan in the world tries to devalue the sanctity of being a wife or a mother, God has never changed his thoughts on the importance of a mother or the value of a mother. Part of instructing the children is to be faithful, to provide biblical discipline and giving the word of God to them. Part of instruction is that coming to that place. Look up here, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." We have come to a place in this world where no discipline is needed. I was recently brought to the attention of some of the videos that share how teachers are walking away from teaching because of the lack of discipline in the school. They're like, "Listen, even if I have good discipline in my classroom, I can't do anything because the kids don't get in trouble for anything." And so again, this lack of discipline is not creating a better society. It's degrading society more by more. And when a child violates the instruction of God's word, God commands for the child to be disciplined. Look what Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." God specifically mentions the mother due to her role of the day-to-day raising of that child or children or child. And this, again, is another area where Satan will try to convince mothers and fathers to go about disciplining the kids any other way than the way that he said. Timeouts, loss of privileges, counting to three over and over and over again. I don't mean to mock parents, but I'm telling you, I sit there sometimes and it's funny to me. "Now, Johnny, you better do what I say. One, two. Now, Johnny, I mean it. If I get to three, we're out of here, Johnny. One, two. Johnny, I mean what I say, Johnny." And that just goes on and on. And I'm sitting over there thinking, "Just go to three. Can I yell out three for you?" But again, not mocking them. But listen, sometimes they just don't understand. They've never been taught. I remember sitting down with a couple one time, and I just said to them offhand, I said, "If you're going to teach them to go on three, why don't you just teach them to go on one? Because that's really, in essence, what you're doing. One, two, three, and they do it on two and a half and three quarters. Or if you're like me, 2.99 repeating. So if you're going to teach them to do it then anyways, teach them just to do it right away." And so sometimes people don't realize that. And I truly believe a lot of our problem in society is not because of a lack of want to. I believe it's there. I guess it's a lack of teaching and a lack of training. And again, we're going to discipline. We're going to do the things that we've seen in our parents. And that could be a positive thing and that could be a negative thing. But God says, listen, don't look for another way. Just do it the way that I've asked you. Look up here at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Discipline shows love to your child or children. It also teaches the child that there are consequences and encourages obedience to God and to the parents. Notice how this verse states that discipline shows a mother's love. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That's love. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Now, we're not going to have the time to go into all of these areas. It's going to be more of an overview of qualities. But let me just say this while we're here, while we're getting ready to leave this idea of biblical discipline should never be done in anger. Discipline should never be done in anger. It should always be done out of love. And Mom, if you're in the middle of the day and you're little Johnny has stirred you up and you're feeling anger with him up inside of you, it's best for you to wait and maybe just let Dad take care of it. But it should always be done in love. It should always be done for the purposes of seeing that child progress and go forward. Look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. When we think about love, God uses the imagery of the love of a mother to remind the children of Israel that God will comfort him. As one, verse Isaiah 66, 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Listen, this is the high value that God puts on motherhood, that he uses the love of a mother to remind the children of Israel how much he loves them and how he'll bring comfort to them. A mother is to bring comfort and compassion to the child. I've always said, like, Dad is law. Dad's the black and white. Dad's like, there's no gray area. And then Mom is the love portion of that part that just comes in and cuddles and brings and nurtures that child. I remember when I was a single parent, Joseph was messing around with the doors. We lived in one of those older homes that the doors kind of gave a little bit. And he comes crying. He's like, "Dad, I got my fingers pinched in the door, the girl's door, mom, mom." And he's crying and crying and crying. And I said, "Son, are you supposed to be messing with the girl's door?" "No, I'm like, "Well, that's what you get." And he goes away crying. And God's like, whoa, you got to be mama too. I'm like, "I don't want to be mama." I said, "Joe, come here." And Joe comes over and I said, "Come here, Joe." And he gets up and I'm patting him. I'm like, "Oh, God, you're going to do something quick. You did not wire me to be mommy." But God gives those two disciplines in a home for a purpose. That's why this whole ideal of melding men and women together to be the same is not good, because God made us differently for a purpose. Now, listen. God wants us to love our children, encourage our children, but he also wants us to set boundaries around our children. But see, God says, listen, we need to put some things around them, but God shows, he says, it's a mother's love is tender and compassionate and intimate, and he uses that love. That's how high a value he has on the love of a mother, that he used it to encourage and comfort the hearts of the children of Israel. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. A mother will respond to the needs of her children. She will help them feel safe. She'll reassure them in times of trouble, in times of doubt in a child. Like God's love, a mother's love is ever present in the life of a child. In this passage, God, through Peter, speaks of the qualities of a wife should possess. But in doing this, it also helps us to see a valuable trait of a mother as well. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also might without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold the chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." God says, listen, in the heart of a woman should be a meek and quiet spirit. And that meek spirit is what is should be exemplified in a mother. The meek there means mild or soft or gentle. And a mother's love should be patient and kind. It should be gentle. This helps to foster in the child or the children growth without fear. Listen, many of us talked about when we were younger, you know, we talked about, well, when dad said, when I did it, I would do whatever I want. But when mom said, wait till your dad gets home, or I'm going to, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to talk to your dad. That was the fear of that. And sometimes we did stuff just because we feared. But listen, God doesn't want you to go through your Christian life. In your early years of your life, it's necessary. But as you grow older into faith, God doesn't want you to do it because you're afraid of it. He wants you to come to the point where you want to serve him. You want to do these things because you love him. You see his love towards you and you want to reciprocate that love back to him. And here we see, he says, that meek and quiet spirit, it's going to build confidence in those young people to want to obey God and want to serve him with his life. That gentle and patient love of a mother will help to serve God out of love instead of duty. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It is the fear of the Lord that enhances the learning of a child. Turn back over to Proverbs chapter 31 now. Look at verse 30. Therefore, the fear of the Lord in a mother will help to exemplify this quality in the child. When we look at the value that God places upon the fear of the Lord, we see it here in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, the Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If a woman learns to fear the Lord prior to becoming a wife or a mother, it will help them by allowing their child or children to know their mother as a woman of God that feareth God from their birth. But God says, listen, even more than beauty is the fear of God. We need to come to the place where we recognize that God's value is opposite of the world. The world teaches you to look at the outward appearance of somebody first. God says, listen, it's the hidden man of the heart. It's what's on the inside that makes a difference. And a godly mother's primary concern should be learning the scriptures that she might teach it to her children. A godly mother is going to be one that has the pursuits of her children over her own worldly pursuits that might be out there. A godly mother's primary concern is praying for her child or children. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 27 says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. He worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed diligently and relentlessly for a child she had not had yet. This should no doubt inspire a mother to labor for her child or children in prayer. If Hannah could diligently and faithfully pray for a child that she did not have yet, how much more should we be praying for the children that we do have? Look down to Proverbs chapter 31 here, or go back up. Excuse me, look up to verse 13, Proverbs 31, 13. But listen, laboring is not something new. Hannah labored in prayer. Labor is not nothing new. The birth of a child finds a mother laboring for that child. Laboring is something that a godly mother will be known for. And when we look at this woman known as the virtuous woman here in Proverbs chapter 31, we find a woman that is not afraid of work. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. We see here a woman, a mother that works willingly with her hands. She's not lazy. Listen, being a mother is hard work. Hard work. I often encourage young couples by telling them that, listen, parenting is not for the faint at heart. The more children you have, the more demand on you as a mother. It does not get easier. It gets more difficult. Look at these next verses, verse 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. There is not a part of this passage that does not describe anything else in a wife or a mother more than hard work. It's work. If you are lazy, don't want a bunch of kids. When what you don't want to do is you just, well, I like this child and boy, I like this kid. And then all of a sudden another one comes along and that child goes to the wayside. That new child's there. And it's just that perpetual cycle. That's not going to help them. What you are doing with a child is laying the groundwork for future children. And sometimes we don't see that. We just see that little urchin down there that spits up and smells terribly at times and all those things. And we see that. And they, yes, they're nice and comely at times. But what you're looking at is generations that are before you. Generations that are before you. Sometimes we want to look and see what's right before us. But there's so much more to that. There's so much in that store. Parenting and keeping a home are like any other profession. You must work at it. Study on ways to organize, schedule, always staying ahead of everything and the growing family and all those things. And God is working and moving in those things. Look at verse 27. Look down at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. We see at the end of verse 27 another reference of hard work, not being idle, but busy about keeping the home. Mothering and keeping a home are two jobs. Therefore, it takes being diligent during the day. Keep something here again. Let's go over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. As a mother, you cannot effectively keep a home if you're not in the home all day. If you're out constantly running here and there and never in the home, it's hard to keep a home and hard to raise the children at home if you're not there. It's hard to raise a home or to raise children and keep a home if you're on your phone all day. So God says, listen, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't be so lazy that your husband has to come home and clean the house and do the chores that you should be doing. God says for you to keep the home. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient unto their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I mentioned at the beginning of this message about how the world is opposite of the ways of God. This passage has several principles that the world scoffs at. Yet God describes it as a godly woman and a godly mother. Notice again in verse 4 that the mother loves her children. As a mother, you are to love your children as Christ loves you. Christ loves you even though you're not perfect. And listen, despite any mother that has any delusion in her mind, your children aren't perfect either. And we all know that because not only are your offspring, but more importantly, they're offspring of your husband. That's all we need to say there. I always say the good qualities about my children they get from their mother. Everything else comes from me. I'm not afraid to admit it. But God says, listen, you will have to teach them how to pray, how to read their Bible, how to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have to teach them how to work with their hands and to lead by leading by example in front of them on how they should take care of themselves. Verse 5 tells us that a wife should be a keeper at home. Man, the world goes nuts on this. Oh boy. The world says a mother should be out working a job and developing a career. Listen, I used to work with ladies in the public school that were teachers, and man, I've listened to their stories and how they would sit there and say, man, I wish I could go back and I wish I would have taken the years off when my children were young. I could have came back to work and worked at any time. But man, I wish I could go back and see the first walk-in, and I could be there when they were hurting, and I would be there when during the day by day. And I'd listen to them opine about how they wish they could have that time back. But boy, the world doesn't like that. The world has made a mockery of being a housewife. It degrades the idea of subhuman. when God says it's exactly how he created the home to thrive. Look at the next part of the verse. Obedient to their husbands. With this one, the world's minds just went woof. Again, the world devalues an obedient wife as beyond subhuman and misogynistic. It deceives both the wife and the husband by getting them to believe contrary to God's word. Anything contrary to God's word is not good and will not produce itself. I don't care how many times people say, well, you know, I guess I'll try it this way. It didn't work for the other people. It's not going to work for you. Man, I'm telling you, every time, I've just got to the point where I'm just laying it out there with guys now. Happy wife, happy life. And I'm like, how's that working out for you? That's what I'm saying now. Because you look miserable. Everything about you is miserable as a man. Happy wife, happy life does not work because that's not the way God said for it to be. And that's why it'll never work. The deception is so great that I hear many preachers joking about it. And my biggest fear is that they're not joking, that it's actually true. And this idea brings us to the last part of the verse. Look what it says. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Make no mistake about it. God has set the order in the home. Many ladies are not content to be in God's will for their lives. They would rather work outside the home, allowing others to raise their children. Jump back to Proverbs chapter 31. Look at verse 28. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. No matter what the world tells you, no matter what the world says to you, God says it's right. God says it's honorable to stay at home and care for your home and your children if you have them. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Make no mistake about it how honorable being a mother is. It is a blessing and worthy of praise. Jump down to verse 30. Favor is deceit and beauty is vain. We see again in this verse how God says a greater focus of a woman should be on spiritual health more than physical beauty. Now listen, I want to tread some very soft ground here. How much time does it take you to get ready? And my question for you is, have you spent that much time reading and seeking out God and his word? God says here, listen, beauty is vain. But it goes on and says, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. When a mother fears the Lord, she will do what the Lord wants her to do, not what she wants to do. When a mother is praised for her labor with the home and her children, the Lord is being glorified. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 5. When we talk about this idea of the importance of the mother, and we talk about how that child that's before you is generations, you got to look off into the future of generations, not just that one that's before you. When I was teaching kids in the public school, and they were kids with behavior problems, and I'd have kids come along, and their parents were in BD, and the BD classes, and their brothers and sisters were in BD classes, and now they're in BD classes. And I would sit down with them sometimes, and we'd be talking, and we'd talk about how to manage those behavior, and try to how to cope with some of the things that's going on in their life. And I remember I would look across them and say, look, at some point, somebody in your family has to break the mold. Somebody in your family has to be the one to say, listen, this character trait in my family ends with me. You may have had a mother that yells and screams and manipulates and all those kind of things. You do not have to replicate it. You don't have to. You may not have grown up in a Christian home where you were taught the things of God. Matter of fact, you were probably taught some other things that are far away from God. But you don't have to replicate it. God says, listen, you can set the foundation, the mold, if you will, in the lives of the generations of your family going forward. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. I'm going to get it right. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Paul talking to Timothy, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He said, listen, Timothy, when I bring to my mind your faith that I see in you, he's not going to praise him. Look what he says. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We see here in this verse that it was the faith of Timothy's grandmother that passed to Timothy's mother that now has passed to him. Now look, I don't know what Lois's parents did. But I can tell you this from the way I read that. When he said, first in thy mother Lois, that means me to believe that Lois was the first one in that family to get saved. At least in the generations that were there. And then it started with her, and she instilled inside of Eunice some love of God and the fear of God and the want to know who God is. And then she took that and instilled it into her son. Timothy's father is never mentioned here. But God sure does heap a whole bunch of praise and honor on to his grandmother and to his mother. So anybody that tells you, oh, God doesn't like women, he highly favors women. He wouldn't have told men to love their wives if he wasn't highly favored. So much so that Paul praises his faith but gives credit to his mother and to his grandmother for it. And here we see the scriptures to be true in the fact that these two women who feared the Lord are being praised through the life of their son and grandson. Perhaps the most lasting quality is a mother's faith, as it is what serves as the foundation for the next generation's relationship with God. God says, listen, don't devalue a mother. Don't devalue your role as a mother. Let's make quick application this morning. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, all that we've talked about so far are qualities for a mother. You say, well, I'm not a mother yet, so I guess this doesn't apply to me. I can take the next 10, 15 minutes off. No, this application is for you as well. Before the formation of public education, schooling was done in the home by the parents. Most of that education was done by the mother as she was in the home while the father was out working to provide for the home. And the Bible is clear on the importance of the mother influence her child educationally. We read earlier in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. No matter how one chooses to educate their children, it is the mother that plays an integral role in that. To be able to educate her children, the mother must continue to grow in her own education. To keep herself rounded, to be able to direct or help her children's education. That means she must grow not only in a spiritual sense, but also in a physical sense, also in the earthly sense as well. Now again, we're not going to get into debate on public education here today, but I'm going to tell you something. Public education is going to teach you things that you and I never use. Seth and I had a pretty lengthy conversation about calculus. How many of you took calculus? Yeah. All of them. I didn't want to raise my hand because that's so bad. But listen, if you're going to instruct your children in the home and you're going to have to teach calculus, you're going to have to learn it. It's hard to teach something that you don't know. And so you must continue with that. But we're talking about the spiritual side now. Therefore, if you're going to help your child to lay the framework and to encourage the framework of spiritual growth in their life, you have to study the Word of God yourself. Ladies, you cannot rely on your husband's knowledge of the Word of God. You have to have it yourself. You have to. You're not going to piggyback your way in. You've got to know it. When your children look at you and say, Mommy, why do we do this? You're going to have an answer for them. And listen, well, we'll talk to your dad about that later. We'll work for a while, but children are pretty smart. They know what's going on.
But God says, listen, I want you to continue to grow yourself and mature yourself. You have to study yourself. Look here at Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. So whether you're a mother or you're not a mother, whether you have no children, whether you're not married yet, whether you're still in the home, whether you're a little toe grubber down here, it doesn't matter where you're at. God says, I want that word in your heart. Now listen, you can say, well, preacher, you don't understand. My parents, they're not all they should be. No fooling. You should have asked me to sit down before you said that. The word of God is very clear. We're all fallen. None of us are right. What I hope for my children is not for them to be like me. I want them to exceed me. I want them to look at me and say, listen, there's, yeah, you know, my dad was pretty good here, my dad was pretty good there, but boy, this was an area my dad struggled. Fix it. Fix it and strive above. That's the whole point of what he's talking about. Hey, Lois laid this framework, and then the next one comes along and puts here, and then, hey, the next generation can come here. And then next thing you know, this generation that once was looked at as the scourge of society is now living very spiritually up here, taking that next step and going on. As I was meditating on this, I was thinking about a conversation I was talking to Christopher about. You know, the training that he did in the Air Force brought him within a certain amount of set of hours to get a bachelor's degree. And I encouraged him. I said, son, go get that. Get that thing done early on if you can. I said, because who knows? Maybe you'll want to cross over and move from the enlisted side over into the officer side. And having your bachelor's degree will help you with that thing. And then I heard from Amanda. He said, yeah. He said, well, that'd be pretty cool because Uncle Bruce got all the way to chief on the enlisted side. And if I were to go and I were to become on the officer side, I would basically pick up from where he left off and rise forward. And man, that thing just shouted out. God used, brought that thought back to my head exactly for this message. Our goal is to bring our children and to say, here's where you are now, but I want you here. So I'm going to set the standard here. When you get here, I'm going to raise it up here. I'm going to raise it up here, raise it up here. And next thing you know, 5, 10 years down the road, your child that once was way down here is now way up here. And the reason why that's so important is because when we leave the house, we do not normally go, woo. The kids use it in the home and go, woo. So the higher we can get them, that drop that they have will be a lot less of what it could be. And God says, listen, the word of God is so important. He says, listen, I want it in thine heart. I want you to read the word of God. I want you to meditate on the word. I want you to make practical application of the word of God when you're teaching it to your children. I want you praying for them for wisdom and understanding. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This verse again speaks of the fact that it's a day-to-day endeavor. It's day by day. You do not just have kids and enjoy them until the next one comes and then on to the next. Each child represents the more need for prayer, the more need for study, the more need for guidance, the more need for teaching. In essence, it's more work. When we tell people how many kids we have, like, oh, that's a lot. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. And listen, the brunt of that falls on the mother many times. Go over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Listen, laboring for a child is a lasting investment. Laboring for a child is a lasting investment. In this world, much diminishes with time. We know beauty diminishes with time. There are a lot of us in here. 20, 30 years ago, man, we could pick up things. I watch these young guys now and they're picking up things. I'm like, yeah, I used to do that too. And my back reminds me all the time about how I used to do stupid stuff like that. Because strength diminishes over time. Not as strong as I used to be. Abilities diminish over time. Things that we used to do, coordination that we used to have. We don't have to quite have that coordination anymore. I stepped off a chair the other day and was able to catch myself. And literally, the first thought I thought was, man, in about 5 or 10 years, I'm going to be on the ground for a while on that one. I better slow myself down.
So abilities diminish over time. Energy diminishes over time. Oh, all the adult folk in here are like, and then the kids are like, I don't want to go take a nap. I want to go take a nap. I'm like, all right, you say, yeah, I'll go do it for you. God, hallelujah. I'll take that one. I'm not there yet. I don't do very good with naps. But listen, most of us would recognize in our lives things diminish over time. But listen, mothers, there's one thing that you can invest your time in that will never lose its value, and that's training your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, again, this verse here is often misunderstood. This verse is not saying that if you train a child up to love God, to serve God, you instill in them scriptures and you're teaching them memorization and you're doing all these things, that they won't turn away from God and walk away from the things of God. That's not what they're saying. What that's saying is the time that you invest and the things that you invest in that heart, that will never depart from them. Matter of fact, for many kids that come back to God later in life, they will tell you, they will testify that it was the things that they were taught when they were young that drove them nuts. It was constantly before them. It was constantly interrupting the things that they wanted to do that God said they shouldn't do, because that word of God would never go away from them. God would constantly bring it up and remind them of the things that they were taught, because that investment will always last. And the crazy thing about this verse is, when we look at it, we often see the negative. We often think about the kids that walk away. Yet there are so many examples in the scriptures of the early training providing a foundation for that child to stand up for the Lord. As we saw earlier, Timothy's foundation, where he's now standing in the gap for God in a church, was due to his grandmother and to his mother. Daniel, where we're studying right now on our normal study, he was trained as a young man how to love God and the law of God. And that training was instrumental into him going and standing and saying, listen, I don't want to be defiled by the king's meat. And it would go later down the road in his life when he's at the end of his life and they say, you can't pray anymore. And he goes and he prays and he says, throw me in the lion's den if you want me to. I don't care. I'm going to serve God. And it was the foundation from a little boy that set that in motion. Joseph was trained as a young man. And that training helped him to resist the bitterness that could have came in his life. And he faithfully served God, and he faithfully served Egypt and led Egypt during that time. Samuel was trained from a little boy and dedicated at an early age and followed God to do the will for his life. Josiah and Hezekiah both were trained at the early age to love God and to love the law of God and turn the nations back to God through that. Wicked and ungodly nations before, and God used them to raise up a righteous generation. Job, the Bible told us, was blameless in his youth. And that foundation, if you want something to meditate and think on that you never thought about before, you think about the limited law that God had, or that Job had, the limited word of God that Job had. And for him to make and stand like he stood, that makes it more impressive. Makes it way more impressive. And I could go on and on and on. A mother's influence rooted in scripture has the ability to produce in her child or children a love for God. And a child that honors God with his or her life is a life that will end up praising and glorifying and being a blessing to that mother. Moms, it's time to turn off the TV and get in the Word of God that you can lay a better foundation for your children. It's time to put down the phone and pray for wisdom in raising your children or your child. It's time to stay home and instill in the child or children the wonderfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for you to see fully the great honor and blessedness of keeping a home, which include raising children if you have them. God says, don't let this world devalue what I hold in great value and great esteem. And for those of us that don't fall into that category, we too need to take these words, which I've commanded thee, shall be in thine heart. We need to be the encouragement and the help to others. Listen, it's easy to look around and see where everybody's struggling. It's easy to jump on it, but sometimes it's just encouraging to walk over and say, listen, hey, I know this child is a little rambunctious, but keep working, keep plugging, don't give up, keep going, and God will help you. God values and honors mothers. Don't ever, ever come to a place to where you think you're less than what you are. God holds you in high esteem, and so should you. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the sometimes how difficult it is for us to weather the pressures of this life and the struggles that this life puts before us.